Welcome to Classical Companion. I'm Diane Jones, and over these weeks and months, I'm chatting with artists and musicians throughout the region about the music they turn to in these challenging times. Today, I'm speaking with Kathleen Rathbun. Kathleen is the founder and artistic director of Syracuse City Ballet, and she has some great music to share with us. Kathleen, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you for having me, Diane. It's always fun to talk with you.
It is always a blast. Now, one thing I want to do before we start talking about the music is check in with you and your corps de ballet. How is everyone doing? Because with dancers, there's the added challenge of the need to move that musicians don't have quite as in quite as dramatic a fashion.
Right. It's the dancer's job to stay in shape. And this whole stay at home and dance thing is really ridiculous for them. But they're doing it. We have company class on Zoom. People are at their homes with their ballet bars and their tiny little piece of Marley. Marley's the thing so they don't slip. And they're doing the best they can do. And it's incredible the dedication and the hard work that they put into all of this. But they are dying to move. They are really, really missing it.
And how has Syracuse City Ballet had to change their programming with all of this?
Well, we were just about to perform Cinderella. We were in the theater, had been in the theater for 3 days, and we were just about to run the first run-through with the entire crew, the stagehands and everything, lighting, sound, everything. And management came to us. We were in the audience working on lights, and they said, "You've got to shut down. We can't have the performance." So the whole cast was there, and I had to gather them all together in the audience and tell them the terrible news.
Oh, no.
And there was tears, and there was sadness, and then everybody understood, but they realized, you know, that all the hard work that they've done was going to not be shown, you know. So It was very, very difficult. And not to mention, we had already paid for programs to be printed and sets to be delivered and, you know, the lighting to be designed. And the stagehands already had worked, you know, a lot, and we had hung everything. So there was a lot of money that wasn't going to get back. So it was difficult. But we understood, you know, we wouldn't want anyone to ever get hurt or sick, you know. So then we had to lay up the dancers after that because we couldn't dance or do anything. So It's been difficult. We've been staying in touch with everybody and doing the company class, like I said, and we're working on different projects that we're planning. We don't know what's going to happen, so we were planning on doing Dracula in October and Nutcracker in December. We have now postponed Cinderella for next March, so we're gonna do it again, hopefully.
Oh, good.
In the meantime, we're doing a lot of outreach planning. We're doing videos on technique and fun dancing and dancing. If you're chair bound, we're kind of doing a lot of that instructional videos, and we're also planning to do two really fun projects. One is Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, which is so amazing, and also another one called Goldilocks Meets Little Red, and that's a conglomeration of different artists. So we're working on that with the dancers only kind of remotely. So they're remotely doing this. It's quite interesting to see how this will turn out. And it's different for us, too, because it's a film. It's not you're going to look in the audience and see a production. It's way different. So we've come like a different approach to everything. Felipe Panama is the photographer and the director. Well, the director's Aldo Santiago, but together they're working on this. And it's quite amazing. So I'm excited. And we're going to have it. We'll have it forever to send to the schools and really bring dance to the children. And if we can go to the schools, great. If not, we send the video. We have all these lesson plans that go with it. And it's going to be great. So from there, we're actually having date night where we send the, you know, you can get the video of Aladdin and Peter Pan right now and, you know, order restaurant food and get dressed up and go to the ballet in the home.
We are definitely getting creative in how to reach out and make sure that everyone still has access to this incredible art.
Yes, yes. It's not the same as live.
No.
For sure. We all know that. But it's there, and we can't wait to be live again. That's for sure.
Well, you have a marvelous list of music, and most of it is ballet music. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. Start to walk us through this. Now, I know why you've chosen the first selections. Talk about Cinderella.
Cinderella is very dear to my heart because it is the very first ballet that I ever choreographed with a full orchestra. And it's very different to choreograph with an orchestra than it is with recorded music. And it was amazing. It was amazing. I worked with Daniel Hagee, and he was phenomenal. And this Prokofiev, when I first heard this ballet, I was like, I don't really like this music. And then when I started getting into it, I'm like, it's genius. It's genius. You get into it, and it's just like you can see everything. I don't know how he does it, but you can really see every part of this ballet, and it's just incredible. So I am a Prokofiev fan for life. Anything. So I just love it. And we were just about to do it, and we were all excited. And we're going to do it again. And it's just so creative. We have a lot of things planned for this one. And I think the music that you're going to hear is when Cinderella arrives in the ballroom. And if you can just picture the ballroom happening, Cinderella arrives, you know, upstage center, comes through, and everything is quiet, and the music portrays her, what she's going through in her mind. This girl has been, she's never been dressed up. She's always been, you know, at the home, just cleaning up after her stepsisters, and then she gets to go to the ball of a lifetime, dressed up beautifully, and everything stops when she walks in. Everyone's looking at her, wondering who she is, and she's thinking, what am I doing? This is a dream come true. Then on top of that, you can hear it in the music. On top of that, she sees the prince, and you can tell immediately that she's mesmerized, and then they start dancing. And it's one of those ballrooms that, you know, you're across a crowded room and you see each other and no one else is around, but everybody is around. And the music is them dancing, but the two, Prince and Cinderella, in their own little world. So you can hear that in the music. You can really hear it. So it's incredible. It's like all of a sudden they'll go in and out of, we're at a ball, oh no, we're alone. Oh, we're at a ball, we're alone. And then in the end, she's so lost. They dance, they do their variations, and her variation is incredibly hard. And she turns so fast in this thing. It's just so fun to see. The faster it goes, she's on that music and just turning like crazy, doing this big manege. And then they dance together, but then in the very end, she's so caught up in it, and all of a sudden it strikes midnight and you can hear the clocks. And our clocks are actual people that hold a Roman numeral depending on what number they are. So it's just so shocking, and the whole thing comes crumbling down, you know. So it's just really cool to hear.
Let's take a listen to a little bit of Cinderella from Prokofiev. It is such gorgeous and descriptive music. I can't wait to see it staged, and I'm so sorry you couldn't do it this year, but I'm so glad it's coming back.
Yes, me too.
This next one, you did get to stage.
Peter Pan is another one that is very dear to my heart. The first time we did it, I actually played Wendy many, many years ago. And this time when we did it, my daughter, Claire, who's a ballerina, played Wendy. So it was really kind of a circle of life type thing. I remember when she was little and we were flying, and I was Wendy, and we were backstage. I'm like, Claire, do you want to get in the harness and fly? Put her in the harness, and she just brought her up a little bit. She starts sobbing, you know.
Oh.
So got her down, you know. So then there's a part in Peter Pan where Wendy Bird comes in, and the lost boys shoot her with an arrow, and she falls to the ground. And when I did it, Claire was in the audience with my mom, and she starts crying.
Oh, no.
Mommy, mommy. It was awful. And I couldn't, like, go, hey, I'm alive, honey, don't worry. I was just waiting there. It was pretty awful.
Oh, my.
So, it's hard not to think about that ballet and kind of laugh and then think, oh, my gosh. And then to see my own daughter do the role was really quite great. And the ballet is the most fun ever, between the pirates and the crazy kids in it. And that it's just so good. It's just so, so good. The Native American dances are crazy fun. They're beautiful. And I was fortunate that I met Carmen de Leon, the composer, years ago. I spoke with him when he first had written this ballet. I think we might have been the second company to ever do it.
Wow.
I don't think many people had ever done it. And now I went down to Cincinnati Ballet, where he's the conductor of their orchestra, and I got to see it live with his music. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. And so we spoke for a while. My goal someday is to have him come up and conduct it live, and it would just be, it's just phenomenal. The music just is so much fun, and the ballet is so much fun. And then when the crocodile comes in, the crocodile actually does a tango with Captain Hook, and it's amazing. And it's just so much fun. I just love the whole ballet so much.
Well, we're going to take you through a little bit of the ballet. We're going to start with the overture. We're going to play a little bit of Tinkerbell's theme, and when Peter Pan arrives, also his shadow. It's so much fun, way you deal with the shadow on stage.
That's fun. This year was really fun, the last time when we did it. The overture, when it first starts, is just magical. You just feel like you're flying, and it's magical. And so in the audience, when we did this, we had a special light that would look like Tinkerbell. And it would, like, if you were in the audience, you could see it. It was darting around the whole audience. And so it would be like on a person or over somewhere else. And the kids just went crazy. And then we had Peter look huge on the stage behind the scrim. He was a huge, huge, huge shadow. And then little Tinkerbell comes out in real size, but she looks teeny tiny next to him. So it's such a great effect. We had so much fun with special effects with this. And the audience, they had gotten these special lights that they had, like little wand lights for kids, fiber optic. And at certain times during the ballet, they had to light their wands. And so when the stars came out, when they were doing, they go from the house to Neverland, everybody lit their little wand. So the whole place was lit like starry night. And so was the stage. And it was just so much fun. And then when they come back home, they have to light it again. So it was really quite an interactive, fun ballet for sure.
Let's take a listen to a little bit of music from Peter Pan.
Thank you.
for me, the fun part of coming and seeing Syracuse City Ballet is to see the kids in the audience and how engaged they are and how excited they are. And I've seen the Nutcracker a few times, and there was one time where this little girl next to me, when the fox is chasing the little gingerbread children, and the last one is almost caught by the fox, and she was going, run, run, get inside.
Oh, yeah, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. It's so cute, too, because sometimes the littlest ones, they are so engaged, mm-hmm. but the parents have to hold their seats down because they're too little to hold it down. They don't weigh enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so cute to see.
Well, this next ballet, this is definitely not a children's ballet. Talk to us about Dracula.
Dracula was, we had done it years ago. We did it a couple times. And Katrina Jade choreographed it. And this is the first time we've done it in a long time. And the first time we've done it with a professional company with all our 10 professional dancers and then the corps and the students. So we worked on this ballet, and Mr. Aldo, the ballet master, really, really fine-tuned this and added all kinds of really amazing parts. This ballet is so dramatic, and I think what made it even more dramatic was that we were able to do it in the Carrier Theater. Mm-hmm. And the Carrier Theater is up close and personal, so you can see eyes and faces and you can see the sweat and the blood. But it's so dramatic. And the pas de deux and the dancing, we really pushed these dancers, and they loved it. They got so immersed into this ballet that it was amazing. The sets for this ballet, we actually borrowed them from the Syracuse Opera. They are so nice to us. But they were kind of really interesting. We thought it would be a lot easier. And then when we got in the theater, we're like, what were we thinking? We actually had to draw it out in cardboard in the studio and say, okay, this is where they're going to go. They were on wheels, and they were mostly arches, but you could turn them around, and they looked different from the other side. So we used them as the crypt on one side and as the ballroom on another side and as the bedroom, depending on where we put them. So we had it was a whole another layer of creativity and just trying to think outside the box to make this work. And it worked really well. I was so excited. But it took a while to figure out, you had to choreograph this stuff. You had to choreograph it so it was in the right spot at the right time. Otherwise, you're in trouble. So, in the music, too. We had a lot of fun with it, though. And this Mina's Pa is just unbelievably beautiful. You can tell that she, you can hear in the music where she's terrified. And then all of a sudden where she starts falling in love with Dracula. And then you can hear where she just gives in and says, I want to be a vampire. I want to be with you forever. It's like the ultimate love story. So it's all in this one pas. The pas like 7 minutes long, and it's grueling to dance emotionally and technically. So it's really, really, really fun to see, and really the audience is riveted. The Vampire Bride, probably the first thing you're going to hear, and it is Jonathan has just arrived to Count Dracula's castle. He's come a long, long, long way, and he thinks he's going to get this great job, make a lot of money, and he's exhausted, so he turns in for the night and he goes in to bed. And all of a sudden, you can hear this music. It's just very quiet. And then all of a sudden, you can just hear and feel the hands come out from under the bed. And then these slowly, slowly, slowly three women come out from under the bed. They're all different because they're different vampires from different centuries. I was one of those. It was quite fun to do. And you're seduced. They're all seducing him. And he doesn't know what's going on at first, and he's like, oh, this is great, And then all of a sudden, they start moving him around a little bit rougher, and then they really, he's trying to get away a little bit. He's like, what's going on? I don't really get it. Am I dreaming? And then they push him to the floor and they rip open his shirt and they're ready to bite him. And there's the cross. And the cross starts. Then they start, they're in pain. They're getting basically burned by the whole thought. And then they force him to take the cross and throw it. And then they get right on him. And then Dracula comes in and stops him. And they're just like, no, why? Don't stop us. And then, of course, Dracula says, you know what? I'll give you this other thing. So he gives them something else instead to take care of that. And because he needs Jonathan so that he can get to Mina. Because he sees Mina in Jonathan's locket. It's a picture. And she's really, in his mind, his bride from hundreds of years ago that is reincarnated.
Mm.
And so he needs Jonathan so that he can go back and get Mina. But that's basically the gist of that. It's a lot of fun to do. And it's really, really scary. And these girls took it to another level. And it was great. And the last scene was one of my favorite parts to do, because all of the vampires are in the castle and Mina is going to come and she's going to turn into a vampire here, and all the way to the vampire. And we are all there. And as doing this dance as a group, you're just feeding off each other's emotions. It's so much fun because the energy gets huge, and we've all got fangs on and we've all got blood on our faces and we're dancing and we're just ready. It's just, it becomes a life of its own, and the energy and the artistry, you forget you're dancing because you're so into it. So it's just, and the audience feels it, especially in the carrier. It's really great.
Let's take a listen to some of the music from Dracula. Now, this last ballet that you've chosen, I don't think is going to surprise anybody. Because how could you not choose this? What have you chosen?
Swan Lake. I love Swan Lake. I just love it. Swan Lake has a lot of meaning for me. It's always been my favorite ballet because I love how the white swan and the black swan are the same actress, dancer, artist. And I think it just takes a prima ballerina to be able to play Odette and Odile. And because, you know, the white swan is so meek and mild and reserved, and the black swan's haughty and sexy and, you know, and strong and crazy. And not to mention, you have to be able to dance both ways, which usually dancers are better at one than the other. They either can really jump and turn or that kind of thing, or they have really long legs and they can do all those slow extensions. But to see a ballerina be able to do both, and of course at the end of all that you're dancing, you have to do 32 fouettés, it's beyond hard. but it's so exciting in the audience because you never know. It's live theater. Is it going to work? Is it not? You know, and it has a story of its own, too, so you get lost in the story, and then you're like, wow, this is amazing dancing. The corps de ballet in this ballet is just probably the hardest corps de ballet that you have to be so disciplined, so precise. The lines, when you do lines, if you're sitting in the audience and you do lines that are straight on to the audience, you can tell if somebody's baby finger's on a line. So... to rehearse these four Court of LA dancers is like, nope, do it again. Nope, you're out of line. And not only, you're not just standing, you're dancing hard steps and standing in line. And then on top of all that, you do all this dancing, you're dying, right? You have to stand in a straight line, turned out with your feet pointed and your arms a certain way and your eyeballs looking straight wherever you're supposed to look without moving for a good 10 minutes at least.
Oh my.
At different times, it's more than 10 minutes, but at one time, it's like 10 minutes you have to stare. And then all of a sudden, you get to move to another position and hold that for another 4 minutes. And then another position. And then you have to run and hold another position. So it's like, because then your muscles are all getting stiff. And you're just like, oh my gosh, now I got to dance right after this. Are you kidding me? You know, but it's stunning to watch as an audience member. And I can remember being backstage in my court were amazing. They were just so good. They worked so hard. And most of them were students. And I would be in the wings going, don't move, don't move, don't look, just stay still. And I remember the stagehands going, do you ever quit? And I'm like, no, not till it's over. But it's fun.
Oh,
yeah, and then, of course, the waltz, the salon waltz, is just, like, the best music ever. And every time I see it, I remember dancing it, so I love it. And then there's four swans, which everybody knows, the four swans.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks easy. It is probably the hardest thing ever. I just remember literally almost throwing up because it's so hard. But you've already done the waltz. You've done all the other steps, and then you do the four swans. Then you have to do the coda, which is ridiculously hard on top of it. So you have to be in such great shape to be able to do this ballet. That is some, but it's I love it. I love it. We're going to do it again someday soon.
You just want to torture your dancers. That's what it is.
I know. Yeah.
Well, the music is not a torture. Let's listen to a little bit of Swan Lake.
Part of this ballet is the Black Swan Pas means a lot to me too, because Claire, obviously, she's done the Black Swan Pas at this competition in Lincoln Center.
Ooh.
Where she won second place at YGP. It's a Youth America Grand Prix. It's dancers from all over the world go, and it's really fun to go see. I don't think it's that fun to be in it, but it's sure fun to go see. And the thing about it was my mom was there. And Claire and her partner did the Black Swan Pas, and my mom got to see it. And then my mom went home, and I stayed for the rest of the competition. And when I got home, my mom had passed away. So it was the first time. I mean, she got to see her granddaughter nail it, and that was the last time we saw her.
Oh, my.
But she was so proud, and she was crying, and they were all crying, and it was just so great, you know. But we didn't know it would be the last time, but so every time I think of it, I think of my mom and hugging Claire and, you know.
Oh, it's a marvelous memory. It actually is a beautiful memory.
It is. It really is.
I think that's often what strikes us when we think about the music that we turn to is the situations, not just the music, but what it is about our encounters with the music that have made it very special and very personal.
Mm-hmm. For sure. When you talk about, you know, everybody stuck at home and the COVID and everything, when I hear this music, I don't have any worries. I get lost in it, you know. Ballet does that to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you have two more works for us, neither of which are ballet works.
Right. I don't know what I'm going to say about these.
Whatever your heart desires, we're going to start out with a little bit of Mozart.
I love Mozart. I just love him. I think it's genius, and I think it was one of the very first pieces that I choreographed to. And since then, I've choreographed it a bunch of different times on a bunch of different people. But I just think the minute you hear it, you just sit right up, sit straight up, and you can see it because it's just so beautiful. You know, when you see like the computer when it plays, like it had the musical play, and they used to, I don't know if they do it anymore, but it used to be like colors would go and all this stuff would go, and you can almost see the music through colors. Well, I see the music like that only through dance. So I'll actually see dancing when I hear this music. It just choreographs itself, basically. So it's just always one of my very favorite pieces.
Well, here is the first movement from Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik, a little night music. There's nothing like Mozart, and I love that you've choreographed to it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I think the audience, when I choreograph or when I do things, a lot of times people may not know ballet, but I like to give them a familiarity sometimes with music. Not all the time, but I think a lot of times they'll be comfortable and, oh, I've heard this before. And then they're like, okay, I get this. So it's always a fun one to use.
Definitely. Well, the other work that you have, the last work that you have for us, is also a very, very familiar work. Talk about this. Tell us what you've chosen.
The Blue Danube. I love it because it is one of those pieces that it's almost like the Beatles. Their songs are very simple, but they're so beautiful, and there's variations on the theme. So it's just calming. And it's beautiful, and I can just picture being on the water, outside, you know. Also, I love André Rieu. I love André Rieu for many reasons. He actually was my mom's favorite conductor. And whenever I watch him, you know, he always plays Blue Danube. And it's so much fun because everybody's dressed up. They're all having the best time of their life. They get up when they feel like it and start waltzing. And he just looks like he's having the best time of his life, even though, you know, he's played this about 1,000,000,000 times. But it never gets old because it's the Blue Danube. And I just picture everybody having fun, and the women dressed to the hilt, and the men, and just everybody just feeling the music, and not just sitting and watching it. They're enjoying it. They're dancing and having fun and listening, and it's just fun. It's just beautiful fun with music.
It is beautiful fun with the Blue Danube, music of Strauss.
Thank you.
Well, that's such a lovely way to end the music together today, because it is such a familiar work. And it's one of those, it's almost impossible not to get up and dance to, I think.
Everything's going to be okay if you play the Blue Danube.
Exactly. Well, Kathleen, it's been so much fun to catch up with you. And before I let you go, I want to give you a chance, if you'd like to give us any thoughts about the importance of music, the importance of art, or even just anything you'd like to leave with us today.
Well, I think what you're doing, Diane, is amazing and great. And I think it brings people to a new level. It brings life to a new level. It fulfills what we're doing, you know, and I think it's so, so important, but not just for me, for anybody. It's going to bring you to new levels of enjoyment and love and beauty and grace. And for our children, I think it changes their lives. As I said before, once you expose a child to music or dance or the arts, they find a new passion, and passion is what we live for. So once they find that passion, they become dedicated, they become disciplined, they become hardworking and think outside the box, and it changes our society. We have to have this. It's what's going to make the future bright.
We do have a bright future ahead. I am convinced of that. And Kathleen, I'm so glad you're a part of it, and I'm so glad you were able to take some time and share some of this music that you turned to with us. Thank you once again, Kathleen Rathbun, the founder and artistic director of Syracuse City Ballet.
Thank you, Diane. It's been a pleasure. It's been fun.